Morning. Today's daf in Chulin is Pei Dalet.
Yes, you have
it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I get to not only thank, but I know he's here in the room listening. I get to thanks too for covering the daf while I was away for a couple of days. I mentioned just a moment ago, I forgot about freezing rain. Okay, it's really good to be back here in Florida. So,
don't leave it.
Okay. If I didn't have reasons to go, I wouldn't go. We are starting we started the sixth parak of the Masechta, Kisu Adam, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago. After the fourth parak of the Masechta, everything in the Masechta now gets super organized by parakim. Topics that are relating to animals are going to be covered parak by parak. We finished the parak of Osav Espino, the prohibition, the Torah, not to shecht an animal and its offspring on the same day. We are just starting the parak regarding Kisu Adam, the mitzvah of covering the blood of an animal after it's shechted. It's not a very long perek. Seventh perek is Gid Anasha, all the halachas regarding the prohibition of eating sciatic nerve of an animal. Eighth perek, Kolabasar, the prohibition of the Torah of eating meat and milk together. Last perek, next three perekim, all super organized. It's going to get a little bit messy, or varotev, the various topics regarding which parts of the animal are edible, which parts are not. And then after that, the 10th parak, Zorah Lechayim, which parts of the animal to be given to the Kohen. Reishis Agez, shearing of the sheep, have to be given to the Kohen as well. And finally, the 13th parak of the Masechta, 12th parak of the Masechta, Shiluch Haken, the mitzvah to send away the mother bird. So chapter by chapter, everything is now going to be super organized into parakim. And so we are discussing now the parak of covering the blood. Mitzvah of covering the blood. So why is there a mitzvah in the Torah to cover the blood? So there's no answer that's going to answer every scenario. Meaning, some are of the opinion that the idea of covering the blood is it's a geder d'oraisa. It's a Torah safeguard so that we don't come to eat the blood. It's very nice. There's only a mitzvah to cover the blood of only chayes v'ofos. There's no mitzvah in the Torah, as we started discussing yesterday. We're going to continue discussing today. There's no mitzvah in the Torah to cover behemah, the blood of a behemah. We're not allowed to eat the blood of a behemah if it's really considered a safeguard, so then it should apply to all animals as well. So, again, we get back to the topic of tamei mitzvahs. There is no tamei mitzvah that's going to be covering everything because we don't do the mitzvah because tamei mitzvahs. We do the mitzvahs because they're mitzvahs. And then in terms of things that we can learn and generate from the mitzvah, good. So that can be learned and generated. But in other words, I'm not going to successfully be able to give you one tamei mitzvah that's going to be covering every scenario in terms of why we cover the blood. So in terms of the question of why the Gemara doesn't deal with it, the Rishonim do deal with it, but the Gemara itself doesn't deal with it. But actually, truth of the matter is, in today's daf, there are going to be a lot of life lessons to be learned in terms of the mitzvah of Kisu Adam coming up in just a little bit from now. But in the meantime, however, let's recap. The Gemara, the Mishnah in the beginning of the parak introduces us to this idea that there is a mitzvah of Kisu Adam. It applies in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. When there is a Beis HaMikdash, when there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash, it applies to Chulim, but it does not apply to Mukdashim, it doesn't apply to Karbanos. It applies to Chayev Ha'Ov, only B'Mizuman, whether they are Mizuman or Ein Mizuman, whether prepared or unprepared, exactly what that means. So a little bit later on this morning, we're going to discuss it. It applies to a Kai, meaning our animal that's somewhere in limbo in terms of, is it a chaya, is it a behema? Is it a cross between a chaya and a behema? So whatever the koi may be, it's subject to the mitzvah of Kisu Adam. You're not allowed to shecht it an yantiv. If you shecht it an yantiv, you do not cover the blood. Good. Those are all the bullet points of what we learned together in the Mishnah. And yesterday we treated one basic question, which is, why is it exactly that there is no mitzvah of Kisu Adam by Karbanos? Meaning, why not? You have a carbon, and you shechted the carbon. There's blood now, so why not cover it? Why shouldn't there be a mitzvah of Kisu Adam? So even before we get back to the Gemara's discussion in terms of why not, let's take into consideration which carbonus exactly are we talking about. We already know that behemoths are known. There's no mitzvah of Kisu Adam, so that cuts out. Right, I'm throwing out a fabricated number that covers 80% of our carbonus. Probably right, probably more. What's left? We're left basically with now birds. Now, of the birds, so as we learned already, there is a mitzvah to cover the blood of birds that are shechted. But first of all, the bird in the Beis HaMikdash is not shechted. It's nimlach. But that doesn't really bother us. Meaning, in the Beis HaMikdash, Malika is the shechita. How many birds are actually going to be subject to being brought as a karban? Two. That's it. Tor and Ben Yonah. So the truth of the matter is that even though we're going to be having this very big discussion of why don't we do the mitzvah of Kisui Dam when it comes to karbanos, it's not really a big discussion. It's very limited to just the two types of birds that can be eligible and be brought as a karban. Good. Okay, so it's just I'm just giving a little perspective to the Gemara. It's not as big as the question sounds like. Why don't we do the mitzvah of Kisui Dam as it relates to karbanos? So presumably the answer is, says the Gemara, the first offering of the Gemara, is that it's a logistic issue. You can't do the mitzvah of Kisui Adam on karbanos because, think about it, we're in the Beis HaMikdash right now. In order to properly perform the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, it has to be bi'afar. It has to be in dirt. There has to be dirt on the bottom, there has to be dirt on the top. Exactly what the dirt on the bottom is, it's an interesting discussion in terms of how much hachana do you need for that dirt on the bottom. But anyway, clearly the more significant dirt for the mitzvah of Kisui Adam is the dirt on the top, because if you think about it, what is kisui? Kisui means a covering. Good. Okay. And you could see Tosfos in yesterday's daf, who has a brief discussion in terms of how exactly to look at the dirt on the bottom. But anyway, so it has to be ba'afar. It has to be in dirt. It has to be dirt on the bottom, dirt on the top. We're in the Beis HaMikdash. We have a stone floor. So what are you going to do? You're going to put some dirt on the floor? In other words, you can't put dirt on the floor. Your feet have to be on the floor. And so yesterday the Gemara thought that there was a logistic issue, it was a technical issue in terms of why we can't do the mitzvah of Kisui Adam as it relates to karbanos. The Gemara goes on to say, the Gemara goes on to say, okay, fine. So the kisui to be done on the bottom cannot be done. But okay, but let's do kisui on the top. And the Gemara noted in yesterday's daf, let's say you were to shecht animal one on top of another, the blood spilled one on top of the other. And if you shechted a chaya, afterwards shechting a behema, fine. So the blood of the behema is on top of the blood of the chaya. There's no exposure of the blood of the chaya, so therefore it doesn't require kisui. However, if you have a scenario where you first shechted the behema and afterwards you shechted the chaya, so that means the blood of the chaya is on top, even though there is no dirt on the bottom, there's still a mitzvah of kisui. So since there's still a mitzvah of kisui, so even if we don't have dirt on the bottom, the Gemara noted yesterday, why not do the mitzvah of kisui, at least cover it on the very top? The Gemara ended up pointing out that we subscribe to the rule of Rabbi Zeira, the school of the position Rabbi Zeira is called a Raila Bila, Ein Bila Ma'akevizbo, V'choshein Raila Bila, Bila Ma'akevizbo. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why that's just simply not going to be feasible, because look, at least you need potential and a possibility. In the Beis HaMikdash, there is no potential and there is no possibility. Because once we are precluded from putting dirt on the floor in the Beis HaMikdash, either because our feet need to be on the floor, or if we're going to permanently put it there, we're going to be adding to the Beis HaMikdash. In either event, what we're going to be doing is we're not going to be in a position where at least potentially there could be dirt on the floor. And so therefore, the Gemara now continues to exclude karbanos from the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. And let's pick it up now inside on the bottom of Pei Gimel Amud Beis, Velichse. So the Gemara says, okay, so why don't we do the following? Look, the problem is right now is that in the Beis HaMikdash proper, we can't perform the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. So let's take it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, let's just simply pick the blood up, move it outside the Beis HaMikdash, and do a kisui on the blood outside the Beis HaMikdash. Transporting the blood after the animal was shechted, is that going to put a pause on the mitzvah? And the Gemara is about to point out, no, it's not. Milo Tanan, the Gemara is now going to be quoting a mission that we're going to be seeing later in our perek. Damanitas v'shal asakim. If I have blood that splatter, or the blood is on the knife, chayv l'chasos. There's still a requirement to cover that blood. Meaning, obviously, in a perfect scenario, you're going to be shechting, and there's going to be blood spilled on the floor. Good. And, as we learned, and as we're going to learn, prepare dirt already up below the blood, so you're going to have the mitzvah bi'afar. But in the meantime, however, if for whatever reason I didn't catch that blood that immediately came out, but there's blood on the knife, so fine. So go ahead, take the blood off the knife, and cover it on the ground. Put the blood on the ground, cover it on the ground. So the Gemara says, so good. So we have a possibility of how to do the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, even if we shechted a carbon in the base of Mikdash. So just simply pick the blood up, move it to a place where we can do the mitzvah of Kisui, and do the mitzvah of Kisui. Meaning, again, we're by a behema, so there's no mitzvah to do the mitzvah kisui adam. So we're talking about the blood of a bird. You're right. In other words, some of the blood of the bird. If there are only two carbonates that are brought from birds, it's either going to be a chater, or it's going to be an oaf. So okay. So in other words, after you do the sprinkling and mitzui, so there will be some blood. There'll be some blood left over. There'll be something to do kisui adam with. And to your point of it's kachim and it can't be taken out of the azara. After the mitzvah's been done, yeah, so then, right, so, okay, you still make an argument. Ultimately, Danny, you know where we're all headed with this, meaning the Gemara is looking right now for a bunch of technical issues, and then the Gemara is going to come around a little bit later on and discuss it from a more fundamental standpoint. Okay, so Iba Kachim Mizbeach, so Hachinami. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? If we're talking about Kachim Mizbeach, I'm with you. Hachinami Mizkin B'Kachim B'Rekabai. So the Gemara right now is... we're discussing kachim bedek abayis, which is simply no option. And what the Gemara now has just suggested, again, we're entertaining for a moment that if we have a chatas bird, that right now in a chanami, what you'd be able to do is that you'd be able to cover it. Rashi on the bottom of the Amud writes, the chayv lachasas hov v'shchita roya hein shenechalas kohanim umasisim ba'ofa shehikdishal on bedek abayis v'shachtem da'asurim ba'na umishim d'shchita shehena roya pater luhumi kisui. So right now, at this point in time, what the Gemara is thinking is as follows. If the bird is a chatos bird, so then, you know what? I can at least construct an argument that such a bird, such blood, is going to have the requirement of kisui. You'll take the blood outside the base of Mikdash, and you'll do it in a place where it's optional, where it's viable. What the Gemara now is saying is as follows. Do you know why you're not going to, it's just simply impossible to cover the blood of a carbon? We don't mean carbon with Kedusha Seguf, we mean carbon meaning carbon of Berek Abayis. And as I just read the Rashi, and I'll just say it outside, what Rashi is telling us is as follows. Let's consider now, I have a bird, which is Berek Abayis. I shechted it. Now, what are we going to do with this animal? It has Kedushas Berek Abayis. You can't eat it. Eating it would be a prohibition of the Isser of Me'ila. It's Asr Bahana. So this Shechita that we just did on this particular carbon is resulting in no consumption. What is a shechita with no consumption? A shechita with no consumption is not going to be, it does not have the mitzvah of kisui adam. Now, yes, by the way, this is now subscribing to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Good, the Gemara is going to note that in just a little bit. But right now, that's what the Gemara is thinking. Which the Gemara says, if that's true, as we turn out to the top of Peidal and Amud Aleph, v'lifrikin v'lichsinu. So the Gemara says, okay, so what's the big deal? It was a carbon, again, not carbon for the Mizbech, but carbon meaning Berek Abayis, that it Kedushas Berek Abayis, and we shechted it, and the problem is that it still has the Kedusha, and that's why we can't do the Mitzvah Kisui Adam. Redeem it. Just simply redeem it. In other words, aren't with Berek Abayis Kedusha, can we just simply transfer that Kedusha onto something else? It's a rhetorical question. The answer, of course, is yes. And so redeem it, and then... now we can take this redeemed animal and do the mitzvah of kisui adam. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem, being on hamad devaracha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but for the purposes of redemption of an animal, I can only redeem an animal only when it stands and it can be evaluated. Standing, of course, meaning on its own, meaning it's still alive. You can only redeem an animal when it's still alive. Now the Gemara says, now this issue of redeeming while it's still alive, subject to a machlokas, ukeman. So the Gemara says, here we are now in a funny, finding ourselves twisted into a funny position. On the question of Shechita Sheina Ruya, we are currently holding like Rabbi Shimon. On the issue of redeeming an animal with Kedushas Berek Abayis after Shechted it, so we have to be entertaining the position that at least it's a viable option. Now that we're twisted ourselves into this position, who's the Tana who holds like both? Ukeman. That's the Gemara's question. We're on the top of Peidal Amud Aleph.
Goes on, maybe it goes only on the animals.
Well, stay tuned. The Gemara is going to discuss. So, Ikar Reb Meir Amar Hakol Ayu B'Chama Davar Racha. So, if we're holding like Reb Meir, that every single animal, in order to be redeemed, has to be in an alive state for redemption, post Shechita, or however it was killed, post-mortem, I should say. There, according to Reb Meir, so it's true that he does not allow for the redemption of such an animal. So the Gemara says, okay, but it's the same Reb Meir who also holds Ha'amar, Shechita Sheni Ruish Mashechita. Reb Meir also happens to be of the opinion that the Shechita does not have to result in consumption in order for the Shechita to be qualified as a Shechita. So then, of course, we would still do the mitzvah of Kisui Dam, because even though it's inedible, and even though it's unredeemable, but it was still a Shechita, according to Reb Meir, and Ikar Rebbe Shimon Damar Shechita Sheni Ruish Mashechita Shechita, Ha'amar Lo Yubachlal Ha'amar Devar Recha. And meanwhile, fine, so let's bounce back to the opinion of Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Shimon takes us to the opinion that in order for a Shechita to qualify as a Shechita, so it has to result in being edible. At the same time, Rebbe Shimon also says, you do not require Hamada Anarecha under all circumstances, including this particular circumstance when we're talking about an animal that only had Kedushas Bedek Abayas. So that means then that, according to Rabbi Shimon, we're also stuck because we're not going to be doing the mitzvah of Kisui, because the Hamad of Aracha issue checks. The Shechita issue now becomes the problem. This simply does not qualify as a Shechita, as it did not result in immediate consumption. So, I'm Rav Yosef. So here we are now. We're basically stuck now in trying to figure out how do we know that karbanos are precluded from the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. So, let's start off like this. I'm Rav Yosef. We're going to go over a number of answers over the course of the first amud of today's daf. Answer number one, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiv Le'alibet Tanai, B'shechita Shein Ruya Savalak Rabbi Shimon, B'amad V'arecha Savalak Rav Meir. So one proposed answer of the Gemara is that you're right. Within the shitas of Rabbi Shimon and Rav Meir, so there's no way to untwist this pretzel. This is just simply, we're at a deadlock in terms of finding someone who subscribes to both of these issues. However, if we move down a generation in terms of the Tanaim, and we go to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So he, on one issue, subscribes like Rav Meir, on the other issue, subscribes like Rabbi Shimon, and so therefore, within the Shita of Rabbi, meaning Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, so in Hamad of Arach, he holds like Rav Meir, that it is redeemable. On the issue of Shechita, he holds like Rabbi Shimon, so therefore, it fits within his position, and that's why we are simply precluded from doing the mitzvah of Kisui Adam for Karbanos. Or the Gemara says, I'll tell you what, maybe our entire Mishnah is in fact going like Rabbi Shimon. Now, Rabbi Shimon does in fact allow for the redemption. So if Rabbi Shimon is allowing for the redemption, why not Shechta Karban, our Bedek Abayis Karban, do the redemption, and then do the mitzvah of Kisui. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you look in the Pasuk at an Achrimos, the source of the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, you'll notice over there that there are two verbs that are, I would say, contiguous. They are not really contiguous, but they're back-to-back in the Pasuk, v'shafach v'kisa. So in the Torah we have first the shvicha, the shechting of the animal, and then immediately afterwards we have the kisa, the covering of the blood. So mishein mechusa elo shvicha v'kisui. So over here, if there's a step in between, meaning if the only way that we can perform the mitzvah of Kisui is by having to do another step between the Shvicha and the Kisui, so that is the reason why it is excluded from the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. So the Gemara says, and now that we propose this argument, that the reason why Karbanos, the reason why Bedek Abayis is going to be excluded from the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, even if in fact we do subscribe to Rabbi Shimon and we do allow for the redemption of the animal, is because that's another step in between. And the mitzvah of Kisui is only when you could do the mitzvah with no other step in between. The Gemara goes on to say, now that we're here, so now we can provide a very simple argument in terms of how we know karbanos in general are excluded. Let's go back to our regular karban, a classic karban. So kachem izbech mishen mechusar shvicha v'kisui yatzazeh shemechusar shvicha gereira v'kisui. Earlier we talked about how it's not a big deal. I'll simply shech the carbon in the base of Mikdash, take the blood, drag it outside, and do the mitzvah of kisui outside. If there has to be another step in between, so that immediately excludes ourselves from the mitzvah of kisui Adam. So this approach really solves for the more fundamental issue, why is there no mitzvah of kisur when it comes to a karban? Because by a karban, there necessarily has to be a step in between. Once there necessarily has to be a step in between, so therefore we are precluded, we're excluded from the mitzvah of kisur adam. That answer number one. No, but that was a scenario in which that wasn't a necessary step. It just happens to be that right now the only blood we have remaining is on the knife. That's fine. But in other words, but if by definition this has to now be an interjecting step, so that's why it's excluded from the mitzvah of kisur adam. Answer number two of the Gemara, we're on Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, we're about a third of the way down. First one in the line is Mar Bar Rav Ashi. And here we are now with the second answer to our question, how do I know karbanos are excluded from the mitzvah of kisur adam? Mar Bar Rav Ashi Amar Makra Chaya Oof. Ma Chaya Enu Kadosh Af Oof Enu Kadosh. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go back to the Pasuk in Achrimos, and let's see together where exactly the Torah requires us to do the mitzvah of kisur adam. The Torah points to two animals. There's the Chaya, and then there's the Oof. Now again, like I said at the beginning of Shir today, there's this big discussion about a kisur adam when it comes to karbanos. It's not a big discussion. Again, because now we know there are only two types of animals that are eligible, chay and oaf. Chay simply does not qualify as a karban under any circumstance. So now we're only talking about oaf. So, but the Gemara says, okay, good. But once we see that the Torah identifies these two animals as requiring the mitzvah of kisur adam, so now we could say like this, ma chaya. Eino kadosh, av of eino kadosh. Since we know chayos are categorically removed from karbanos because there is no chaya that qualifies as a karban, so we'll say the same thing by oaf. The only type of oaf that has the requirement of mitzvah of kisur adam is only the oaf that's not brought as a karban. So the Gemara says, really, so interesting. Ima chay shein b'mino kadosh, av of shein b'mino kadosh, otzi torim b'nei yona, sheish b'mino kadosh. So the Gemara says, okay, once we're discussing category, so why don't we make the following argument? Good. So categorically, ruba de ruba, the vast majority of birds, they're not going to require the mitzvah of kisur adam, because categorically they cannot be brought as a karban. Good. So your chickens and turkeys, good. But in terms of the birds that can be brought as a karban, so maybe I'll put them in a different category. Maybe I will say that categorically they can be brought as a karban, and therefore you should do the mitzvah of kisur adam. So the Gemara says, lo, kichaya. Ma chaya lo chilakta ba, af of lo tachlok ba. So the Gemara says, I can't do that, because the Torah only gives us two categories, chaya and oaf. Since by chaya, we say that unanimously, every single chaya is going to be included in the mitzvah of kisur adam, and every single chaya is excluded from being a karban, so we're going to say the same thing by bird. Now, even though by birds, however, there is some segregation, some birds can be brought as a karban, so the Gemara says, yeah, but in terms of a category, it's all or nothing. Either categorically, they're all going to require kisui, or none of them are going to require kisui. And since the vast majority, the starting point is chaya. Since all the chayas have a requirement of kisui, and none of them can be brought as a karban, so by birds, we're going to say the same thing. Even though by birds, it's not exactly the same, but we're going to say the same thing. All birds are going to require kisui, and no birds which is a karban is going to require kisui. That will be your second approach for this morning in terms of how we know that karban is excluded from the mitzvah of kisur adam. Amar Yaakov minala Rava. Yaakov the heretic talks to Rava. Now, in of itself, it's interesting that we are quoting in the Gemara Yaakov the Min, right? A Min is not just somebody who is an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, but like somebody who is a real troublemaker, right? The Minim throughout Shas, generally they're Jewish, and generally speaking, they were pretty bad. And so it is interesting that the Gemara over here is, dedicating some very, very sanctified real estate to quote Yaakov Mina. But he's, as we'll see in just a moment, he's about to make a very good point. And I guess maybe lesson is that regardless of who it's coming from, the point, you can't just ignore the point, even though it's coming from a min. But again, whatever. It's safe to say it's interesting that it's Yaakov Mina. So Amar Leih Yaakov Mina L'Rava Kamal L'Chaya B'Chal Behema L'Simanim. So the Gemara says, remember a discussion we had not so long ago in the Masechta, right, in terms of how to categorize Chaya and Behema. And we made the point just a short couple weeks ago in the Daf that a Chaya and a Behema are categories subsumed one under the other. Like, for example, right? I'm not just choosing any example, but the one that Gemara just quoted. How do I look for kosher signs in a kosher animal? So the Torah gives us the kosher signs by the behemoth. Look for split hooves and chewing of its cud. Good. Now, when I turn to Achaya, your wild animals, what is the simanim? It's the same, because Chaya and Behema share the same qualities. One is subsumed within the other. Chaya is a subcategory of Behema, and as the Gemara pointed out, Behema is a subcategory of Chaya. So now, here comes an excellent point. I'm a little bit confused. Why can't we make the argument that Chaya, when the Torah says that cover the blood of Chaya, Chaya is just simply a term that has underneath it Behema as well? What a wonderful question. So Kaimala Chaya Bechal Behema L'simanim. So Ema Nami Behema Bechal Chaya L'kisui. So why don't we make the argument that even though the Torah says cover the blood of a Chaya, but Chaya is used in the Torah in the broader sense of all animals. Amalei Alacha Amakra Alar Tzish Bechanu Kamayim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Torah thought of that. And the Torah is communicating with us that in this particular context, Chaya means Chaya. It means a wild animal and not a behema for the following reason. The Torah says that al ha'aretz tishpachenu kamayim, you pour it on the ground like water. The Torah's analogy to the blood coming out of a chay to that of water is obviously very intentional. What is gained by this comparison? Ma'amayim lo bai kisui, afhainami lo bai kisui. So just like water does not require kisui, so this too does not require kisui as well. So That pasuk was in relationship to behemoth, not to chayas. So the Gemara says, so there's no requirement of kisui. The blood of a behemoth has the status of water. So the Gemara says, really? How far do you want to go with this analogy? Elamiata yatbilu bo. So the Gemara says, the blood of behemoth is really compared to water. And you're taking this analogy to make halachic considerations. So now, why don't we, and this obviously is not pleasant sounding, why don't we do tefillah in a mikvah filled with the blood of a behema, if halachically it has the same status as water? In this Gemara's kasha, right, you have to, first of all, take into consideration how serious the Gemara was about this kasha. The answer is going to be no. But in the Havamina of the Gemara, you're right. How far to go with this Havamina? But anyway, the Gemara immediately is going to reject it. Ach mayanu bor umikve mayim yeh tahor. So hani and midach rini lo. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you go back to the Parsha of Mikvos, Parsha Shmini, and you look and see in the Torah, what exactly is required? The Torah says it has to be a mayan ubor mikve mayim. So the Torah says water, and not some sort of water substitute. So the Gemara says ve'ema hani milamute shar mashkin to lo ikre mayim aval dam dikre mayim achanami. So the Gemara says okay, but look, I'll tell you like this. Yeah, the Torah says you have to be tovel in mayim in water, but I'll tell you good water, not orange juice, water and not milk. But maybe blood is different because al ha'aret tishpachenu kamayim, because the Torah equates blood and water. So trei miyutiksiv mayan mayim ubor mayim. So the Gemara says, yeah. Again, at Havamina we would have entertained it, but we're going to immediately reject it because the Torah says mayim not once but two times. So that means to say it has to be water and not water substitute. Even if the Torah describes it sometimes as a water substitute, it's not going to be good enough. So ema idiv idilu mutei shar mashkin, chala mutei zochlin, and v'chala mutei mechunasim. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'm still going to just push back one more time. Maybe the double mayim in the Torah is there to teach us that it has to be water and to the exclusion of other liquids, right? Not juice, not milk, not honey, not any other liquids. But in terms of the two mentions of the word mayim, one is there to preclude zochlim, and one is to preclude mechunasim. Meaning whether it is flowing or whether it is static water that is gathered and collected. And you can take a look at Rashi over here. I'm not going to go through it right now in terms of the various halachas that differentiate between zochlim versus mechunasim. But basically in mikvah you have two halachas, and maybe the exclusion, the double exclusion, can be applied to both. But what the Gemara is still arguing one more time is that maybe the blood of a behemah, which the Torah says, al arsh tishpachenu kamayim, maybe that could be used as mikvah water. So the Gemara says, okay, go back to the pasuk and you will count. And you will see that the word mayim is listed not once, twice, but three times. And so by the third mention of the word mayim, so the Torah is making it abundantly clear that for the mitzvah of tefillah b'mikvah, so it has to be water and not a water substitute. In other areas of halacha, and I can't off the top of my head tell you where else in halacha the comparison would help us, but in other areas of halacha, maybe we could view the dam behema like mayim because of the pasuk of al arz tishpachanu kamayim, but vis-a-vis mikvah, the Torah makes it abundantly clear, it has to be water to the exclusion of anything which may, in other areas of halacha, behave like water. Tanu Rabbanan, we are now in the Gemara, halfway down in Pei Dalem and Aleph, continuing our discussions of the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. Ashir Yatsud. Again, back to Achrei Mos, the pasuk which describes the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. So the Torah says, Ashir Yatsud. You had to have hunted the animal. So So let's say you walk along and your luck, you find a chaya or behema that was, a chaya or oaf that was already trapped. And maybe you shouldn't qualify for the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. Because the Torah describes it as Asher Yatsud, where only animals that you had to go out of your way to trap. But if it's animals that are already trapped, and when I say already trapped, by the way, it doesn't even have to be that exciting the way I described it, where you walked along and you found it already trapped. Maybe we could be just simply describing domesticated birds. Kigon, Ives and Vitarnagolin. Okay, your chickens. In other words, they're on your farm. You didn't do anything to trap them. And although you may have to run a little bit to find them, but you don't have to run that far, right? They're in the pen already. So maybe for them, there's no mitzvah kisu adam. So tam alamer, tzayid mikol makom. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Torah is repetitive. The Torah says, asher yatsud tzayid. So that means to say the double lashon is there to tell us that the mitzvah kisu adam, whether they are actually trapped or already collected. So then why does the Torah then go out of its way to almost mislead us into thinking that the mitzvah of Kisui Adam is only when I trap the animal? So the Gemara says, no, that the Torah wants to tell us a couple of life lessons regarding our attitude and our basic consumption habits. Shelo yachol adam basar ela bazmana hazos. When should a person eat meat? Only bahazmana, only on invitation. What does that mean, eating meat on invitation? Rashi. Ela bazmana hazos ki ilu hutsad. Meaning, obviously, the Torah does not need us to, every time we decide, you know what, tonight for dinner, meat. Okay, everybody, pack your bags. We're going out. We're going on a hunt. Okay. Right. The idea, says Rashi, ki'ilu utsad she'enim zemenes lo klamer, lo yochal basar tadir shelo ye ani. Right? And Rashi's pshat, by the way, is going to become clearer as we go through the Gemara. What the Torah is telling us is as follows. Meat on occasion, meaning it's got to be a special night to eat meat. If you're going to be eating meat on a regular basis, so you're going to become poor and you're going to become impoverished. And the Torah does not want us just simply spending and wasting our money. It's just for the purposes of Derech Eretz that the Torah describes it as Asher Yatsud. Tanu Rabbanan, as long as we're on this topic of discussion, we're going to stay on this topic of discussion. We are now going to be entering into a section of today's daf, where the Gemara is going to be warning us about being modest in terms of how we spend our money. Our expanded borders, Parshas Re'eh, we quoted from these psukim numerous times. This is a source in the Torah of Basar Taiva, our ability to eat meat on a volitional basis without having to bring it as a carbon. When do you eat meat? Only when your taiva is really getting the best of you. Meaning, don't eat it on a regular basis. In other words, pace yourself, right? Eat it with irregularity, and only when you really have a taiva. So, I might have thought that you should go to the market and buy in the market. No, you don't have to buy in the market. In other words, even if you raise it on yourself, that would be okay. Oh, really? So you're allowed to eat from your own flock. So under those circumstances, to eat every animal from your own flock. So the kol tzonov yochal tamalomer mi bekarcha, velo kol bekarcha. So the Torah says, from your flock, not all your flock. Mitzoncha v'lo kol tzoncha. So in other words, don't eat from everything that you have, and if you don't happen to have, so go to the market and buy. But again, the point is, on occasion. Mikan amar Rabbi Elazar, ben Azariah, mishyesh lo, mane, yikach, lefiso, litra, yerek. If a person has a mana, meaning basically, if your total net worth is extraordinarily small, so fine, so eat accordingly. So you have vegetables tonight for dinner, and lefiso, meaning lefiso Rashi describes as your pot, so you'll have a little bit of vegetables, have vegetable soup. Asara mana, yikach lefiso litra dagim. And if you have a little bit more now, here I'm just, you understand. The money, the monetary values here don't mean anything to me. You know, I don't know how much these things are worth, but the point is as follows. Eat according to your means. If you have asara mana, so yikach lefiso litra dagim. So if you have a little bit more money, so go buy fish. Although, generally speaking, I know, in our day and age, fish, just as expensive, if not more. But anyway, chamisha mana, if you have 50 mana, yikach lefiso litra basar. So then, okay, fine. So now you're in a position where you can afford meat and buy meat. And mea mana, so yishvatu lo keder b'chol yom. So, and if you have mea mana, again, now your net worth is, you know, you got a little bit of money. So good. So then you have an allowance to eat meat every single day. There's no isser in eating meat every day. Again, these are issues of midos and how in general we should behave. And so basically, eat according to your means. Ve'inach emas. Now, if you are really now at the point where you really have no means whatsoever, so when should there be an occasion that calls out for meat? Me'erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, so once a week, and that would be on Friday night. So Amar Rav Tzrichim El Lachush L'Divrei Zaken. And Rav warns us. So listen to the Zaken. Meaning that was just very good advice that we heard. Rav says that we should heed it. Amar Rav Yochanan. Abba Mimishpachas Brim Hava. Rav Yochanan says that, you know, Abba, once again a reference to Rav, right? We saw Rashi, you'll forgive me, I forgot where, but we saw Rashi. Abba could either be a description of Rav, or his actual name. So, but either way, we know Rav is referred to as Abba. So Abba, this is Rav Yochanan describing Rav. So he comes from a very healthy family. Meaning he's talking about living modestly, eating within your means, even if it means you're not going to be really satisfying your necessary diet, that's okay. Rav Yochanan says Rav could live like that. But we're in a position where we cannot necessarily live like that, meaning we cannot just simply ignore our dietary needs, and so therefore spend money on food. Even if it's a little bit above your means, the Gemara does not give us, you know, clear guidelines, but the Gemara is speaking in general terms, even if it's a little bit above, spend money. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman could go nanu levim va'ochlim. Rav Nachman says that's what we do. In fact, we borrow money so that we can eat, meaning ignoring our dietary needs is so imprudent that we go out of our way to borrow money if we need to. The Gemara now stays on this point of trying to stay within your means. So the pasuk in Mishle describes how your sheep should be your clothing. Meaning, you know where you should get the wool to make your clothing? Get it from your own sheep. Don't borrow, don't take from others if you don't have the means. Umechir sadeh atudim le'olam yimkor adam. Sadeh v'yikach atudim. Va'al yimkor adam atudim v'yikach sadeh. Investment advice. Goats versus property. Interesting. Goats over property. The goats are going to be providing dividends. So in other words, look. This is not me giving the advice. I'm just, you know, right. Look for stocks with dividends to them. Okay. V'day chelav izim, day la'adam, she's parnes mechelav gedim utlaim shebetoch beso. And the pasuk in Mishlei says that which milk should you have? The milk produced from the animals in your house. So in other words, try to stay within your means. So the milk that's produced by the animals that are in your that are on your farm, then your property, that should be enough for you. Lachmecha lachem beisecha, lachmecha kodem lachem beisecha. And God forbid, there's only enough food for somebody in the family to be eating properly, and everyone else is going to be eating, unfortunately, less than the amount. So who should be eating that? So the balabais, the person who is earning the parnasa. He's the one who needs the strength. He's the one who needs the energy. And so he got rachmanas. If these are the choices you have to make, he comes first. The lacham lacham beisecha lacham chukodim lacham beisecha. V'chayim lanarusech amar mazucha breder of Nachman tein chayim lanarusech. So you should teach them how to live on a conservative means, on modest means. So mikanlim detor derecher shaloi lamaydadam es beno basav yayin. Don't teach your children and people in your family to enjoy the finer things in life, not meat and not wine. But in other words, if you teach the members of your family to live modestly, so then for the rest of their lives, they're not gonna live irresponsibly. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We turn to the Amud Beis. You want wonderful investment advice? Behema daka, small animals. Small animals which are, and I'm guessing, by the way, because I'm not in the business. So small animals which are easier to tend to, they produce, they can breed. Okay, good. In other words, that's wonderful investment advice. So the Torah, when giving the description of sheep, it calls ashteros sonecha. And the Gemara plays on the word, darshan the word ashteros from ashiros. Shema ashros es ba'alayim. Ve'amar Rav Yochanan, kasa der chashem velo kasa de poshrim. The Gemara now is talking about the ills of lukewarm water. Now, I can't really speak to this idea of why the Gemara is so against this idea of drinking lukewarm water. Maybe it wasn't boiled. I'm guessing right now. All right, everyone realize I'm just speculating. Maybe it hasn't been boiled. Maybe bacteria. Whatever the case is, lukewarm water is something that is which is significantly frowned upon. And so the Gemara, just to make its point as clear as possible, better to drink a cup from a magician, from a sorcerer, which for sure is not good, rather than drinking lukewarm water. Okay, maybe slightly hyperbolic, but everyone here understands the point. It's not, lukewarm water is not good. So vahani milei b'kli matchos, that's only in a metal cup. Ava b'kli cheresh leislamba. But if it's an earthenware, that's no problem. Uva b'kli matchos namelo amarnelo delo shadibut sivi. Now, if you put in some sort of spices, so that mitigates whatever ill effects is being produced by the lukewarm water. Ava shadibut sivi leislamba. You put in some spices, you're good. V'chi lo shadibut sivi namelo amarnelo delo tzitz. Ava tzitz leislamba. If the water was previously came to a boil, that's good. In other words, so then there's no problem. Which leads me to think that it has something to do with bacteria, but again, that's a guess on my part. V'amar Rav Yochanan, just a little bit more for this morning. V'amar Rav Yochanan, mishi nichlo aviv maos v'rotzel avdan. Let's say you got a little bit in of a state, and dad left you with a little bit of money. Now, you want to know how to lose the money. Now, obviously, the Gemara over here speaks with a little bit of sarcasm because, in other words, you don't want to lose the money, right? You want to make sure to take care of the money. But in the event that you're really interested in squandering the money, so let me give you some good suggestions of how to squander the money, right? They apparently they didn't have Vegas back then, but that's not true. They did have gambling back then. But there is other ways to squander your money. So yibosh kli pishtam v'yishamash b'kli zechuchis. So the Gemara says, okay, so wear fine linen clothing. It's really expensive and it does not last that long. That's an excellent way to squander your money. Furthermore, continues the Gemara, yishtamish b'kliz echuchis. Okay, drink from really fine dining ware, right? China, right? Fine glass. V'yiskor polen v'yisheva mehem. Oh, and also, here's a great piece of advice. I love the sarcasm, by the way. The Gemara actually fits in with my general delivery, I know. But also, hire workers and don't supervise them. Oh, that's fantastic. So the v'yiskor polen v'yisheva mehem. So yibosh kli pishtan b'kitna rumisa. And the Gemara over here just accentuates each point of the Gemara. As far as wearing the linen, so the Gemara says kitna rumisa, right? Roman linen, right? It happened to have been extraordinarily expensive and it didn't last. V'yishamish b'kli zechuchis b'zugisa chivarta. Gemara here is talking about some sort of crystal dishes, crystal glasses. Again, really expensive. And what's the point? V'yiskor po'alim v'al yeshiva mahem, hire workers with no supervision, betur d'nefisha p'se'adayhu. So the Gemara here is talking about where they were in charge of ox, and without supervision, you're talking about significant financial loss in the event that they go ahead and they ruin the oxen. So the Gemara says basically a life lessons in terms of be conservative with your money, be modest within your living, and try your best not to squander whatever money you have.